Welcome. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This is Karen Edwards for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Modern Maturity. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from various sources. Let's start with a short article from AARP, the magazine, entitled, This is 70. Catching up with S. Patatha Murkison. The award-winning actress, 70, who played Lieutenant Anita Van Buren on NBC's Law & Order, talks about honoring veterans. You were part of a Memorial Day event in D.C. this year. Why? To honor the young men and women who do something I don't think I could. I look at my brother and some of my cousins. They serve with honor, and it's something that I have great admiration for. My oldest brother is a veteran of the Vietnam War. Question. You turned 70 last November. Did you have a celebration? Answer. I was at home with my siblings. I'm the youngest of five. We all had a big laugh at how quickly we all got there. Baby sis at 70. Then we have the art of the turtleneck. Almost every mature man who's known for his style or strength, from Ernest Hemingway to Muhammad Ali, Steve Queen, and David Bowie, has worn a turtleneck sweater. We asked image consultant Alice Kim how to nail this iconic neckline. We have formal. Aim for a fitted silhouette. You don't want bunching at the bottom if you wear the turtleneck outside your pants, or lots of bulk if you tuck it in. Wear the turtleneck under a sport jacket to create a polished effect. Now we know. Or the casual effect, look for a bulky cable knit sweater with a rolled neck. Go for a loose fit, hanging slightly over your belt. If the weather allows, skip the jacket. You want the sweater to be your statement. Wear it with simple pants such as jeans and boots or sneakers. Then, we have a section called, You Call That a Compliment? Sometimes even the best of intentions don't turn out well, so I would like to eradicate these popularly used phrases that demean people 70 and older, even when they're meant to be compliments. You look great. On the surface, this certainly appears to be a compliment, but did the speaker bite her tongue to stop from adding, for your age? Many older people hear that even when it's unspoken. Can I help you, young lady? When you're speaking to someone who is clearly older, there is no compliment. Why reference age at all? Why assume calling someone young will flatter them? Ask how you can help and just do your job. Old dogs can't learn new tricks. This is not even true of canines. Don't believe me? Just dangle a liver snap in front of my 12-year-old pooch and watch what happens. This old dog new tricks comment generalizes the idea that older folks are not educated or retrainable. Now we're going to look at an article in also AARP, the magazine, entitled Find a Better Credit Card under the Money Saver section. Cash rebates, travel points, zero interest, balance transfers, and other benefits make it worth your while to investigate new options. If you haven't reviewed your credit cards recently, it's time to take a close look. As inflation has led shoppers to shift their spending, banks have revamped many of their credit offerings. Those changes may limit the cash back or points you can earn and complicate the task of managing your benefits. It will also help to review your own spending patterns. Perhaps you're taking a long-awaited overseas trip and want to earn points while abroad. Or maybe you would like to tweak your card lineup to cut costs, maximize rewards, or nab a sign-up bonus. One caveat, if you aren't paying your balance in full each month, clear out those debts first. Rewards won't be worth it if you're incurring interest on unpaid balances. Credit card interest rates reached an average of 20.7% in September of 2023, the highest level since 1985, according to Bankrate.com. If you're on track, however, these tips can help you find the best credit card depending on your profile. Check offer terms before sign up, since they can change at any time. For the everyday spender, you want no-hassle cash for daily purchases. Smart option? A flat 2% cashback card. A cashback rewards card is a great way to take the edge off today's higher costs, since you automatically earn a rebate for your spending, typically 1% to 6% of the purchase price. Some cards give you a flat percentage on all purchases. The no-fee Wells Fargo Active Cash Card, for example, pays 2% with no limit, and the Citi Double Cash Credits Card, also no-fee, pays a 1% rebate on purchases and 1% as you pay down your balance. Other cashback cards pay higher rewards for purchases in different spending categories. The rebates from the no-fee Capital One Saver One Rewards credit card include 3% cashback on dining, groceries, except at warehouse stores, and certain entertainment purchases. Rebates can climb to 10% on Uber Eats. They're 1% on most other purchases. The no-fee AARP Essential Rewards MasterCard from Barclays gives 3% back on most gas and drugstore purchases, 2% on eligible medical expenses, and 1% on all other purchases. With some cards, the reward categories shift periodically. The no-fee Chase Freedom Flex card, for example, pays 5% on up to $1,500 in combined spending in categories that rotate every 3 months. Cash back ranges from 1% to 5% on other spending. The flat 2% cash back card is surprisingly tough to beat for simplicity and value, says Ted Rossman, senior industry analyst at Bankrate, who has one himself. But if you can track different spending categories, you can deploy an additional card for specific purposes. The traveler. You want points for airline tickets, hotel stays, car rentals, dining out, and more. Smart option? A flexible credit card, travel card. Frequent travelers who stick with a particular airline or hotel chain, such as Delta or Hilton, often opt for a credit card tied to that brand. That way, those road warriors can earn seat upgrades, free hotel nights, waived check bag fees, and admission to airport lounges, among other rewards. The cards tend to provide additional benefits, such as travel insurance, rental car insurance, and no-fee foreign currency transactions. But brand-centric cards may not be the best choice for occasional travelers, says Adam Van Dusen, a financial planner with Kitses.com, that's K-I-T-C-E-S.com, who has researched credit card rewards. That's because many of those cards carry annual fees, perhaps $95 to $500 a year or more, while requiring cardholders to spend money on the issuer's brand to earn the most generous rewards. For more flexibility, consider a general-purpose travel reward card that offers a variety of options for redeeming points. Chase Sapphire Preferred, annual fee $95, lets you apply your points to several loyalty programs, including United Airlines, Southwest, and Marriott. You'll earn the highest number of points if you book through its Chase Ultimate Rewards portal. The no-fee Capital One Venture Card offers 1.25 times dollars spent, but more for travel booked through Capital One Travel. It's important to monitor travel cards' points system for claiming rewards, since they can be complex and change frequently. American Airlines, for example, recently raised the number of points for earning the lowest tier of elite status while adding new tiers of rewards. It can be challenging to keep up with these programs and determine if you are getting value, says Van Dusen. Some travel cards offer hefty sign-up bonuses in the form of miles or points, but those can be a mixed blessing. Typically, the bigger the bonus, the more you'll have to spend quickly, perhaps thousands of dollars within 3 months of opening the account. You don't want to overspend to get those rewards and find yourself in debt, especially with rates as high as they are, says Max Schultz, chief credit analyst at LendingTree. Loyal shopper. You want deals at your go-to store. Smart option, a flexible branded rewards card. Most major retailers offer a branded credit card which gives loyal customers discounts, free shipping, and other perks. But the rewards are often limited to store purchases. And if you don't pay in full each month, you'll likely be charged a steep interest rate, which can exceed 30%. If you carry a balance, you should definitely avoid store cards, said Bill Hardcuff, co-founder of BillSaver.com. Other branded credit cards, however, pay rewards on general purpose spending. The Citi Costco Anywhere Visa card, no fee for members, pays 4% on eligible gas and EV charging purchases up to $7,000 annually, 3% on restaurant and travel spending, 2% on Costco purchases, and 1% on everything else. Amazon Prime members can get a no-fee Amazon Prime Rewards Visa Signature Card, which offers 5% on Amazon and Chase travel purchases, 2% on gas, transit, and restaurant spending, and 1% on other purchases. You may be able to stack your rewards by combining shopping apps and reward cards, said Rossman. For example, if you use an online shopping browser such as Rakuten, which gives you a rebate, you can get added savings by paying with the retailer card that gives you the highest reward. Debt cutter. You've been struggling with a high rate balance. Smart option, a balance transfer card. If you're seeking to pay down a credit card debt, consider a balance transfer credit card, says Jill Gonzalez, spokesperson for WalletHub.com. This move will allow you to shift your debt from a high-cost card to one that charges little or no interest for a set grace period, typically 18 to 21 months. Recently, the no-fee Wells Fargo Reflect Visa card offered a 0% transfer rate for 21 months. In order to qualify for a balance transfer card, you typically need a good or excellent credit score, perhaps 700 or higher. And you'll generally have to pay a fee up front, perhaps 3% to 5% of the balance, which can be a big investment. You need to pay off the balance by the end of the grace period, or you won't be doing yourself any favors, said Hardcuff. If you have trouble qualifying for a balance transfer card, you might instead try asking your credit card company for a lower rate. Card issuers are more likely than ever before to grant rate reductions, says Schultz. A recent survey by LendingTree found that 76% of people who asked their credit card issuer for a lower rate in the past year got one. The average interest rate reduction was 6 percentage points. Rookie. A loved one needs a first credit card. Smart options. A secured card. If you have a college-age kid or grandkid without a card, one option is to add the newbie to one of your cards as an authorized user. That can help your relative build a credit history, and it can also provide a learning opportunity for how to manage spending. Another option is to add the person as a joint owner of your card, which is something that Apple and U.S. Bank let you do. Unlike adding an authorized user, this choice will give each of you equal authority to spend and put you equally on the hook for the bills. If you'd rather not share plastic, your family member can get a secured credit card, which lets people build a credit history on their own. Secured cards require a deposit, often $200 to $300, which sets the credit limit. After the cardholder makes consistent payments for 6 to 18 months, the deposit is returned, and the issuer may upgrade the card to a traditional unsecured version. Secured cards are offered by most major banks. Some, such as the Discover It Secured credit card, offer rewards. To avoid late fees, encourage your family member to set up automatic payments, says Rossman. He or she can also opt to get notifications when transactions take place or the balance approaches the credit limit. Those alerts can be helpful for veteran cardholders as well. This article was by Penelope Wang, who is an award-winning personal finance journalist. She has worked at Consumer Reports and Money Magazine. Now let's look at this question. When should she claim? This is by Jean Chatsky. And a couple is struggling with the question of when to collect Social Security benefits. The problem: if you are the higher earner in your marriage, you probably know the best strategy for claiming Social Security. Wait. For each year you delay between age 62, when you can first draw benefits, and 70, when those benefits top out, your monthly check rises as much as 8%. This can make a big difference to your spouse should you die first, since your partner will receive your larger benefit as a survivor instead of his or her lesser one. But when should you claim if you're the other spouse? That was the question from Patty Ronald Kramer, 60, and Dave Kramer, 68, who live near Toledo, Ohio. Would it make sense for me to claim at 62, wrote Patty? This whole Social Security thing is so confusing. The advice: yes, to call Social Security confusing is an understatement. So for guidance, I reached out to three financial professionals well-versed in its intricacies: Marcia Mantell of Mantell Retirement Consulting, William Reckenstein of Social Security Solutions, and Lawrence Kitlikoff of the web tool MaximizeMySocialSecurity.com. The Kramers lead a modest and comfortable life. Dave, retired from jobs as a park ranger and a maintenance man, plays in senior softball and golf leagues. Patty works part-time at a printing company and helps care for her 95-year-old mother, who lives nearby. They're living on Patty's $1,000 monthly income and Dave's $1,100 monthly pension, supplemented by withdrawals from their $10,000 savings account. They have roughly $500,000 in retirement savings that they haven't touched, and they've paid off their mortgage. The Kramers' planned expenditures are modest as well. They like to go camping, and Patty would like to upgrade from the tent they use to a camper. They'll eventually have to replace their furnace and windows, but what they really want, Dave says, is time to do things we both enjoy on an everyday basis. That feels particularly urgent because Patty's older sister waited until her full retirement age to retire and claim Social Security. Her husband died soon afterward. My sister kept putting things off, said Patty. I just want to quit my job and be happy. But claiming at 62 has a cost. It would limit Patty's monthly benefits to $1,120, not the $1,600 she would get by starting at 67, her full retirement age. That difference adds up to almost $5,800 per year. Social Security's inflation-adjusted benefits help ensure your quality of life as you age, and the value of that insurance rises the older you get. Kotlikoff, for example, estimates that if both Kramers live to be 100, remember Patty's mom is 95, Patty would give up nearly $50,000, the value today of future cash flows, by retiring at 62 and not 67. On the other hand, by retiring at 62, Patty would replace her salary with a slightly higher Social Security benefit and have more time for pleasures, like camping with Dave. Should Dave's lifespan be closer to the average, the financial benefit of Patty's delay in claiming is not so clear. I know this might sound morbid, but there's more longevity on my side of the family than Dave's, said Patty. The key to this scenario is Dave's maxing out his benefit by waiting until 70 to claim. That way, his monthly payment, which would have been about $1,900 at his full retirement age, will begin at $2,482. If Patty outlives him, she'll start receiving his full benefit instead of her own. They get lots more income while both are alive, observes Mantell, and he protects her income if he is the first to die. The outcome? The Kramers have decided when Patty turns 62 next fall, she will join Dave in retirement and claim Social Security. Dave will wait until he's 70 in 2025 to claim his maximum benefit. This will give us an opportunity to travel and be together more, said Dave. Patty agrees. If I were to wait to full retirement age, he would be 75. Who knows what's going to happen? Want Gene Chatsky to write about helping you sort out your financial problem? Email rescue@aarp.org. Now we're going to start on an article. We won't be able to finish it today. Henry Winkler's Six Lessons of Reinvention. Post Fonz, the actor, typecast dyslexic, too nice for words, struggled to find meaning and work. Then along came friends and fate, therapy, patience, and his first primetime Emmy. A tiny pink piano sits in the vestibule of Henry Winkler's house in Los Angeles, a 2-foot-tall pink piano. Before we begin our talk, I reach down to plink the keys. This is a fun house, I tell him. It's alive, Winkler agrees. The house is bright and loaded with detail. There's not a somber piece of furniture in sight. The windowsills are littered with ceramic animals. Jolly little Buddhas take up spare shelf space. Outsized jars of candy beckon, and plates of cookies wait for children to happen by. In the sunroom, there's a tent, a dog fence, and an undersized table with 6 chairs set up for small children, topped with paper for drawing, and about 1 billion markers. There are no plastic covers on our sofas. This house is meant for the lives of all of the children to be as free and as fun-filled as possible, says Winkler. And you know, if there's a spot here, a spot there, big deal. The laughter, the squeals, the running, the food throwing, the toy playing is worth a spot or two. Grandchildren, Winkler has 6, burst in the front door unannounced. Winkler, 77, stops everything, greets each with a delicate kiss. Dogs lope through. Stacy, his wife of 45 years, patrols amid the chaos. Bright-eyed and sprightly, Winkler moves from room to room as the cover shoot for this magazine goes down. He narrows his eyes when concentrating on a memory, leans forward and finishes anecdotes with a smile that invites you to join in. An attentive host, he asks questions, learns names, and fairly jumps through wardrobe changes, cardigan to cardigan. I like cable knits, he tells me, and cashmere. He holds out an arm. Feel, he says. Marvelous, right? Tom Brown. Too expensive. Too much, but still. He tilts his head and shrugs, unintentionally flashing a little Fonz, the indelible character he played on the hit TV show Happy Days in the 70s and 80s. What you don't see in the house is the 2018 Primetime Emmy Winkler won for his depiction of an egocentric Hollywood acting teacher in the HBO hit Barry, or any of the numerous awards he had previously won. This is not a museum of Winkler's career, but a living testament to who Winkler is now and how he got here. Having segued from discouraged school kid with a learning disability to Ivy League drama student, from leading man to unemployed character actor, from director and producer to best-selling co-author of dozens of children's books, and most recently into one of television's beloved comeback kids. Working from home today, Winkler is promoting his new book, Being Henry, The Fonz, and Beyond, available October 31st. It's a quick-paced, unusually intimate narration of Winkler's wild early success, his mid-career struggles, the deeply earned and ongoing personal growth that followed, and his triumphant return as a memorable character actor, including the lessons he learned on the way. The old Henry got me here, but the new Henry is more fun, he said. So next time we will look at his lesson number one, take the good with the bad. I can't wait. Now, in our few remaining minutes, let's look at AARP The Bulletin, some witty and wise comments. Now I have this tattoo that says, Carpe Diem. That's what we should live by. That's by Dame Judi Dench, 88. Love from family and friends is the best medicine. That's from Madonna, 65, on recovering from a serious bacterial infection. I've just turned 101, and that is, they tell me, my second childhood. So I am now a 101-year-old toddler. That was from TV producer and screenwriter Norman Lear. My great-grandfather had a line that he often quoted. I believe in an open mind, but not so open that your brain falls out. That's by A.G. Sulzberger, 83, publisher of the New York Times. Take care of your elders, and I promise you will learn something special, maybe even magical, says Lady Gaga, 37, after the death of her collaborator, Tony Bennett. When I'm in top shape, I'm not sweating until song 4. That's from rapper 50 Cent. He's 48. I want to learn how to cook. I want to be good enough to make 7 meals and 7 cocktails, says retired golfer and broadcaster Nick Faldo, who is 66. And finally, I want people to know me for good music, but just being a good person, that is important, says rapper Missy Elliott, who is 52. And finally, I saw a woman putting on makeup and talking on the phone while driving in the next lane. That's really dangerous. I'd say I almost dropped my electric razor in my coffee. Well, folks, we have run out of time for today's episode of Modern Maturity. Be sure and listen at the same time next week. I do hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Karen Edwards, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Modern Maturity is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again, 919-832-5138. And thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.